Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra.
And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a radio show and podcast that began as focusing on couples that struggle with infertility and miscarriage, and that's still definitely a primary focus, but we've grown to cover a lot more topics than that. If you've been listening for a while, we have multiple listeners who say, I found y'all, and then I just... binge listen?
Yes, I love that. Please, go back. Listen to the rest.
But we have covered adoption. We've covered foster care. We've covered child loss. We've covered some IVF. Just so many different.
All the creative ways that God helps you build your family. Yeah. We know that it's a difficult journey, and we're here with you. We don't know how your story's going to end, but we know the storyteller.
That's right.
And he's trustworthy.
Right. And just promise to be here with you on your walk as you and your family are possibly walking through some of the things that we just mentioned. Today, Kendra, you want to introduce our special guest?
I would
guest?
Love to. We are joined in studio with a lady who is so special to me and my family. So special because she introduced me to my husband, my boo. She was so sneaky. That's a whole nother story that I don't want
to... But I was right.
You were. And because of that, my little daughter, Eliana Joy, is named after today's guest, Joy. She is also a writer at AFA and former school teacher. And... unfortunately, the topic that we're talking today is a little heavy. We're going to be talking about child loss and the different facets of how do you continue to cling to God in the middle of child loss and what that looks like. So we have the tissues. If you're watching our video online, we had to go get an extra box for our producer just in case. But Anne, why don't you share why you wanted to have Joy on? She hasn't specifically struggled with infertility, but why she's on the show today.
So I've shared with Miss Joy. She was heavy on my heart because we'll get into your sweet boy, Chris. Okay. But she had her sweet son to pass away about a week before my sweet son passed away.
Close?
It was very close.
It was very, very close.
Oh, my word.
And I remember the weekend that I was already feeling like something was not right with John Micah. Mm-hmm. I was on my front porch, sleeping my front porch off, and just crying for Miss Joy and just thinking, God, I don't know what I would do. I just don't know what I would do to lose a son. And I know your son was older. Mm-hmm. He was not necessarily a child, but he's always your baby. But I remember thinking that was Saturday morning, and I remember thinking, God, I just don't know what I would do. And then my Monday morning came.
I know.
And so, you and I have just somehow bonded over
little boys.
Yeah, over our boys. And so you said something so sweet to me one time. Chris never had babies of his own. No. He had his sweet kiddos.
Yeah, he had three stepchildren.
Yes.
They adored.
Yes, yes, as his own, but never held his baby. And you said, I imagine Chris holding your John Micah.
I do.
And I just loved that. And so this has just caused me and you to just have a sweet relationship. Very, very close together of losing our boys.
It's just been an amazing journey. And just, I always felt you praying for me. And I'm just a crier. I mean, I cry over commercials, over whatever. So this is a... listeners and viewers will probably get a lot of tears. They'll get to see lots of tears today. But God has been so gracious and so good. My name is Joy. My parents named me Joy because they went through the journey that y'all went through. Oh, they could not have children for 6 years. Oh. And they literally had given up hope when God dropped me into their life. And so they thought I would be their only child. And so they named me Joy. And then they went ahead and had two more. Like, just had to ruin my life. And I couldn't be the only child. So I have a sister and a brother who are younger than me. But that was my name. And it's always been such a gift. Mm-hmm. But since Chris's death, I have literally struggled to hold on to his joy. Mm-hmm. My pastor spoke this weekend straight to my heart. And when they say Job, you know, when the pastor, after you've been through tragedy and loss, when the pastor starts saying, turn in your Bibles to Job, you immediately go, oh, Jesus, really? We have to do this again today? But he brought out a scripture I'd never seen, and it was from Job 30. And he talks about how Job said, God has unstrung my bow. Mm. And he actually used one of Chris's bows, probably that your husband and Chris have used. It's a long bow and a handmade one. And so we didn't let Pastor have any arrows, but we did let him borrow the bow, and he unstrung the bow, and he talked about how there comes a point in grief where you cannot hold yourself up. There's no way. So when your bow is unstrung and there's no other way to protect yourself, to fight, to war, there's no hope of winning, who do you go to? What do you do? And so truly it comes down to his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And, you know, when you quote that scripture to people before you go through this, you think, oh, that's such a sweet scripture.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. But you have no clue that it literally is the rock that I'm standing on to get to tomorrow.
Yeah.
That in my weakness, his strength is made perfect.
Yeah.
We want to dig into some of that and how God has led you through this journey of grief. But before we do that, I feel like our listeners, they haven't had a chance to get to know Chris. And so, like, one of the things that's different about your all's grief, and we've talked about this, is you grieve all the things that you didn't get to learn about John Micah. Yeah. Because you're like, I will never know what his favorite color was. Right. I will never know these things. But on the other hand of it, Joy, you know those things.
Yes,
and you have a lifetime.
37 years.
So give us, just if you can, and I know this is difficult, but like, tell us just a tiny little bit about Chris, and then also just him passing, that story.
Well, we were married very young. Randy works here at AFA as well. And we were married very young in life. And we went, Randy joined the military. And so we left home and were gone for 6 years. And so we had our first child and we didn't have another one for a while because it was hard being away from family, raising a child without help. And all of a sudden, Jacob decided he wanted a baby brother, and he would pray every night for over a year. And I would tell him every night, call your grandmother and tell her it doesn't matter how much you pray, you're not getting them another baby brother. So in 1986, May the 3rd, Chris was born, and Jacob named him. Jacob named him.
Did he really?
He wanted to name him Chris after his babysitter's son and after my brother, Matt. So he wanted to name him Chris Matt, but we named him Christopher Matthew. And so So Chris was born, and he was always just he was really the joy and the glue that held us together as a family. It's like you know when your family is complete. And so he was the completion, and he just was always, you know him, he was always, my one word to describe him is he was always a fighter, a warrior. He was determined to be. Jacob was 6 years older than him. He wanted to be 6 years older. So he did everything that Jacob did and his friends did, and he took Eric along on the ride. And
I forgot to mention, they're best friends. He was the best man in our wedding.
Yeah, he was. And so, when Chris was old enough, he wanted to do exactly what Jacob did, which was catch. He was a baseball catcher. So we have pictures of Chris at four catching a baseball. He's in his catcher stance, and he stayed in that stance all the way through junior high school, college ball, semi-pro, just all. He was a catcher, and if you saw him, he wasn't a catcher. He was tall. He was about 6'4", not very large. He was not a catcher. No, he was a center fielder living a catcher's life. And so I think that we always knew that that was who he was, that he was protecting home plate. And he just, he always had a heart for other people. And I know that our son had a massive car wreck in 1999. And then
Jacob.
And Chris really was part of the process of him healing and coming back and recuperating. And then, of course, Eric had a car wreck several years later. And when Eric came home in a wheelchair, Chris was just determined that their life was not going to change. Mm-hmm. They were going to do everything they had ever done before, fish, hunt, travel, do whatever. And so sometimes literally he would carry Eric on his back. Right. You know, we're going to that creek. We're going up that hill. We're going to do whatever we have to do. And so he would. And that's just kind of the man he became. And in 2017, he went to college, played ball, came home, and he was a coach. He coached baseball and football, but baseball's his love. And in 2017, just out of the blue, he started, you know, it seemed like he was just having colds and junk all the time. And I would say to my, because I'm a teacher, it's just your first year teaching, you'll catch everything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how it is. But finally, it got to the point that the school sent him to the doctor. And he went to the doctor, and literally, the doctor told us he was days away from death. He had chronic leukemia, and his spleen was the largest they'd ever witnessed. And so, but it was, you know, no big deal. Give you a pill, you'll live to be an old man. It's chronic leukemia. And then he did that for 6 years, and there were days that you knew he was exhausted and he was tired and that he didn't like taking the medicine. He didn't like going and constantly having his blood checked, but he never complained. He never said a word. He and his wife and their three children, they just adapted and they lived it. And all of a sudden, he went for a regular checkup, and his cancer had mutated to acute leukemia. And because he is so young and so healthy, he was an immediate candidate for stem cell transplant. Now, me as his mom and the writer and the researcher, I had to research it all, you know. Yeah. And I was a little wary of it. But they put his blood in the DNA World Bank, and literally only one person from Germany came back as a match.
Oh, my God.
And it was not a great match. And they usually you have like 24, 25 choices. You get one. And this person was from Germany. And it was actually an older entry. So they said, it's probably not going to work. Mm-hmm. Do you have any siblings? So we tested Jacob. Jacob was a perfect match. Mm-hmm. And so Jacob, they did a stem cell transplant. And within months, Chris was totally whole and healed and had no signs, no anything. And then all of a sudden, last year, about a year post stem cell transplant, it mutated again. And at this point, the only option was another stem cell transplant, which we made plans to do. But it was baseball season. Mm-hmm. And he was determined. He had missed the season before with his players, and they won the 2A state championships in 2022.
Can I just tell you, he's a legend in the coaching world for these kids. Like, they adore him.
They do.
So just gonna throw that in there.
And he is
proud mama. Skipped that
he
part.
He will not. He's just one of those people who will not give up. Literally, I've seen him walk into a dugout as a player, as a coach, and just say, "No, we're not going home losers today. You can go home a loser, but I'm not going home a loser. We're going to win." And I've seen him just rally his team, rally his players back to winning. So last year, in 2022, he was on the sideline watching as they played state championship. He actually did go down to the dugout for the final game and get to be with them. But this year he was determined, I'm going all the way. So he did, and it was probably not the wisest choice he ever made, but it was his choice. And so by the time baseball season was over, and it was time to begin his stem cell transplant, he had no white blood cells left. And so he got like a mosquito bite or something, flea bite, mosquito bite. He's a country boy. There's no telling what. And within days, he was septic. Mm-hmm. And he had already checked in for his stem cell transplant, but there was nothing they could do. And he was in a coma, and he died. And we were all in shock because 18 days earlier, he had been at state championships. There are hundreds of pictures from families and TV stations, and then there he was.
He was all over social media.
He was. It was unreal. And it was just a shock to us. It was very, God gave us absolute peace. The night before he died, his wife, Lee, who is absolutely the most precious, she loves him like there's no tomorrow. And we laugh because Chris was a pretty boy. He liked to be pretty. And he could be a redneck one day and a model the next day. And she took such great care of him. Mm-hmm. But the night before he died, she was exhausted. And one of her friends took her to a nearby hotel to get a shower. Mm-hmm. And when she sat down on the bed, she literally sat for a minute and passed out. She was so exhausted. So my friend called and said, let her sleep 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And so in those 4 hours, God gave me the most amazing gift. I got to sit beside him with my sister, who he called Chi-Chi his whole life, his Chi-Chi, his aunt. And she, he lived with her during the stem cell transplant. And he lived with her multiple times during college in different places. She lives in another state. And so we sat beside his bedside. And in those moments, like I said, my child has never been anything but a warrior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he just could not give up, if every coach we ever met in every state, at every college, even opposing coaches would say, I've never seen a kid that works that hard, that is just that dedicated. And so in those moments of that night, the Lord just began to speak to us and show us that he was making some choices, and they probably weren't going to be the choices we would make.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the next day at 2 p.m., he wasn't plugged in, so to speak, but he was on a ventilator, and he was breathing somewhat on his own. But at 2, his wife said, you know, we're going to make, they wanted to just stop everything, the medical, but she said, no, he's always made his own choices, and he'll make his choice. So at 2 o'clock, he made his choice, and within 30 seconds, he was gone. Mm-hmm. And so it was such a peaceful time because we knew, you know, he's a grown man. Mm-hmm. I've spent my entire life. He's been fighting for a long time. He's never complained. For 6 years, he's lived in a doctor's office, and he's made his choice. But for me, Anne, the hard part afterwards has been understanding why. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that helped, that why did he make that choice? Because I really feel like, well, in fact, my sister said that the Lord just showed her that he had told him, you know, Chris, you want to go back? We'll go back and we'll fight one more time. I'll stir the water for you, and we'll fight till you want to stop fighting, or you can come home. And so my little catcher just slid right on into home at 2 o'clock on June the 20th. And there was just absolute peace in that moment, and peace for days and days afterwards. Mm-hmm. But then the reality hits that I never get to see him again until I go to heaven.
Yeah,
I don't get to touch him or talk to him or hear his voice and see that huge dimpled smile. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, if I had not seen him when he was born, I probably would have said, wait, this is not my baby. Where did those dimples come from? But it's been a journey, and it's been learning how to live with your bow unstrung.
Mm-hmm. You shared something with me recently, if you're comfortable sharing, about how the Lord told you about how would you feel if one of your kids asked. Can you share that?
So I have just really, I go to bed peaceful. Mm-hmm. I never have, and I do. I think about people who don't know where their children are when they die, or people who don't have that moment with them. I mean, we were all there. Everybody that he loved was right there in that room. And so I have total peace. I go to bed in total peace. But when I wake up in the morning, Jesus and I have discussions. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, I just, you know, I'm like, Jesus, I know you don't have to explain anything to me, mm-hmm. but I just don't understand. My child was a fighter. Mm-hmm. Why did he choose now to not fight, to just lay down and surrender and give up? And he didn't answer my question, but he told me, he said, Joy, if either one of your children ever asked to come home for any reason, no matter when, at what time, or mm-hmm. what circumstances, would you open the door and welcome them home? Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, Lord. And he said, me too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I love that, Miss Joy.
So there's great peace in knowing yeah. that he's safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a metaphor, but of course, I'm a literature teacher and a writer, so metaphors are great for mm-hmm. me. My husband's not real pleased with my metaphors mm-hmm. all the time. But you look at life, and he mm-hmm. did. He spent mm-hmm. his life yeah. on a baseball field catching mm-hmm. and protecting home plate. But for the first time as a mother, I don't have to go to bed at night and wonder if my child is safe and if my child is home.
That's right.
Because he's home and the enemy can never touch him again.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So what advice would both of you have? Because I cannot imagine the questions that you've had for God. Joy, you already shared about like not feeling joy every yeah. morning. And I'm sure with your loss, like there have got to be so many raw questions that God has maybe still not answered.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to any listeners who have unanswered questions from God that they're still trying to seek resolution?
I would say just keep asking. You know, the Bible talks about the woman who kept coming to the mm-hmm. judge's door and just coming and coming and coming. Ask, and you may not get the answers till you get home. And I think that's so funny because the minute we step through the door, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's
you're going to see your boy, and I'm going to see my boy, and we're going to be loving on Jesus, and we're not going to care. But keep asking, and then seek the Word. I mean, really look in the Word, and then look around you. He sends the funniest things to explain things. We're keeping Chris's dog. That's a whole other story. He was attacked, his little Feist. And watching him in his fear and his, you know, he's uncertain. And I just think, there I am, Jesus. I'm mm-hmm. having to trust you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would say the same thing. And I think it's okay to wrestle with God in Amen. These questions. I know it's one thing to, you know, sit in self-pity or to, mm-hmm. you know, we can't sit there. But I was telling Kendra, I heard the song, It Is Well With My Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I couldn't sing it the other day when it was on because I was like, you know, as a Christian, am I called to get to the point that I can say it is well with my soul? But then as a mama, how do you mm-hmm. get to that point?
Mm-hmm.
How are you able to say it's well with my soul that my baby's gone? And so, Will and I say we lived his whole life with him those 3 days in the hospital, mm-hmm. you know? And so, you know, I don't know what the answer even is to that because I trust God Amen. And I know that the Lord, what you're saying, the enemy can't ever get to him. John Micah doesn't know pain.
Amen.
He doesn't know sadness. He doesn't know heartache. And so for that, I can find peace in mm-hmm. and joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are we called to, you know, God, today is a good day. Mm-hmm. I'm just happy today. Da, da, da. You know, I think we'll have moments like that, but our lives mm-hmm. are shattered for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Now, God picks mm-hmm. up those shattered pieces, and I think for the rest of our lives, we'll be molding us with those shattered pieces. Mm-hmm. But our hearts get broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think as a Christian we're called to act like they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're called to show mm-hmm. that we trust the Lord to put those pieces back better than what they were before.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
That is.
And that hymn you mentioned was written by Horatio Spafford
yeah.
in the moment when, if you go look into his history, we don't have time to go into all of it, but he had lost his entire family, his
yeah.
children, his wife. in a shipwreck, yeah. and he was and had lost all of his possessions in, I think it was the Great Chicago Fire, mm-hmm. and he was going over the water, over the place, and they said, this is where the shipwreck happened, and he wrote those lyrics. That, to me, tells me that it is well with my soul is not an emotion. No. It is well does not mean, oh, I have to appear happy,
right. mm-hmm.
because
right.
you know that man was not feeling that in that moment. That's not authentic. It is well. Choosing to say that is saying, God, I'm trusting that you're good even though it doesn't feel like it right now, and leaning into his character.
Yeah.
And thank you both for sharing, because I think somebody today needed to hear the honesty of the wrestle, like Jacob in the Bible, who was wrestling
with
God.
That's right.
And
you
guys are forever changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so true. I just real quick, I know a point when they handed me John Micah, and he was in an ice bag. It felt like the most awful feeling in the world because I was holding a cold baby.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to do that. But I was telling Kendra earlier, it's hard to view God as good in that kind of
moment.
But then once you get out and you let yourself still see God for who he is, you can mm-hmm. still see his goodness.
Amen.
We just still have to be willing to look for it.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Amen. Well, thank you all for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.